Yeah, I think he had actually said to me, we've been praying and we already had responded. He didn't contact us. I actually contacted him because we were already concerned about supporting their ministry this year. So pray about how you can give to the Home Missions Offering and support reaching out to Nepalese Hindus all over Hong Kong. All right? Well, just so happens that I should have a picture here of my favorite restaurant in Hong Kong, which happens to be a Nepalese Indian restaurant called Salam Namaste. And anybody who knows me, you might have been there with me before, but my favorite place to eat. And the owner is actually a Christian from Nepal. But really, the restaurant has a pretty bad name, actually. I shouldn't say bad name. It's an odd name because it's actually mixing two different greetings. It's kind of like saying hello, having a restaurant called Hello Ni Hao, right? It doesn't work like that. So salam is the Arabic word for peace, and then namaste is a South Asian greeting, which means literally I bow to you, or I bow to the divine in you. Oddly enough, since my friend who owns this restaurant is a Christian, he doesn't greet his friends that way that are Christians. They don't say namaste. Instead, it says Jai Masih, which literally means praise Messiah or praise Jesus. So greetings are important. The way that we greet people is important. It actually shows something about what we believe. Emmanuel and I talked by WhatsApp this week, and I was asking him about Jai Masih. So people who are Christians in Hong Kong that are Nepalese, they don't greet each other namaste. They greet each other with praise Jesus. Well, we come to Titus chapter 1 again in verse 4. Now, I want you to know I'm not purposefully trying to go as slow as possible, nor am I trying to preach on verses that no one would ever preach on. But in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, we have a greeting from Paul to Titus. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn there. It's also on the screen if you don't have a phone or a Bible. But here are the words from Paul to Titus. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. So I have a typo there. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Is this a normal greeting? Is this a normal greeting for the time of Paul in the first century? Living in a Greek culture, is this normal? Why does he use the words that he uses? Why does he use grace and peace? What is he hoping to convey? And what are we going to learn from this? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you will help me. I need this grace today. I need grace to communicate things that you have shown me through your word to our flock in a way that they can understand and will be beneficial for their lives. So God, I ask for your grace today. Let it abound to me that I might speak clearly. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. In every single one of Paul's letters, he starts off with a greeting to his recipients, whether it's a person or a church, with these words. Okay, every single letter that Paul writes in the New Testament, he starts off with the words grace and peace. Now, he does add a couple of things a couple of times, but always using grace and peace. So take, for example, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 says this: grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is his most popular way of saying it. And this appears in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 2nd Thessalonians, and Philemon. In all of those, he says exactly the same thing: grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the letters to Timothy, he adds the words mercy, grace, mercy, and peace to you. Peter himself, Peter uses grace and peace as well, as does John the Apostle in the book of 2 John and Revelation. James alone, of all the apostles, uses something different besides grace and peace. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. So here's a question. Was this grace and peace a common greeting? Is Paul just using like the lingo of his day? Like we'd say, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? Or how you going, mate? Or whatever it is we might say to greet someone. Well, as I studied these phrases and these letters of the first century this week, what I found is that actually Paul invented this phrase. The Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It never existed before. In any writings, this is not what they said. So if you look at New Testament letters in that time period in the Greco-Roman world, they did not greet each other this way. They actually used a greeting that was quite simple, and it was the phrase, greetings. You might have seen that's real, creative, but that's the way they would greet one another. Maybe you've seen that in a movies or something where somebody says, greetings. In fact, we actually have some examples in the Bible where people use this particular type of common greeting. So Acts chapter 15, for example, they sent Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Acts chapter 23, we also see this. This is where Paul is getting shipped off. It says that this Roman soldier, he called two of the centurions and said, get ready 200 soldiers with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go as far as Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Also provide mounts for Paul to ride and bring him safely to Felix the governor. So I'm actually, hey, Elliot, can you turn me up a little bit? I'm actually talking the top of my voice, and I'm getting really dry here. And he wrote a letter, there you go. And he wrote a letter to this effect. And this is his letter, Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency the Governor Felix, greetings. This is the common way to greet someone at this time period. I mentioned that James uses something different in his letter. He uses the standard greeting of the day, James 1:1. It's on the screen. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. So that's a common greeting of the day, okay? Just like you and I would, it'd be like if you were a person and you're walking around and you say, Zosan or Ni Hao or whatever you might say, and then all of a sudden you start using something totally different that no one else uses. People might be like, why are you using that? Paul is going to use something different. He invented this whole new way of greeting people. Much like our Nepalese brothers and sisters use a different greeting that never existed until there was a thriving church in Nepal. He says, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. Now, I read this and I asked myself this question, why the words grace and peace? Why the words grace and peace? Of all of the words you can use, why those words? Why not health and wealth? Why not safety and security? Or why not faith, hope, and love? Could be many things you could use, right? But instead, consistent all throughout the New Testament, we have this grace and peace. So let's ask this question to help us understand. Do you have water? You can't find it. Okay. What is grace? What is grace? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. 这是信的吗? Wow, thank you. Well, this is actually Tibetan water. That's excellent. Thank you. Yeah, it says right there, Droma Chuki Miki Chishu. Yeah. Grace and peace. Why does he use the word grace? How would you define it? What would you, if somebody asked you, can you define for me what grace is as a Christian? What would you say? What's grace? Well, some people say it's God's riches at Christ's expense, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a pretty good definition, isn't it? Some have even said that it is, grace is defined as God's unmerited favor. God's unearned or unmerited favor. I believe Joel Beakey is right in his book, Living for God's Glory, when he says that this is too weak of a statement for grace. It's not God's unmerited favor. It's actually God's unmerited favor in the place of merited wrath. God's unmerited favor in the place of merited wrath. So it's not God taking you from a zero and then giving you a lot of grace and so now you're a 10. It's God taking you from a minus 10 to a 10. So you've actually deserved something else and he's given you this grace. It'd probably be better to say God taking you from like a minus 100,000 to a positive 100,000. That's grace. 18th century Baptist pastor named Abraham Booth, he defined grace this way. Great definition, I think. He said, the eternal and absolute free favor of God manifested in the granting of spiritual and eternal blessings to the guilty and the unworthy. It's a pretty good definition. Let's look at what the Bible says about grace and see if we can know why Paul would use this. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We read this, I think, every week. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And that's spiritual blessings. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. I don't know why it got louder all of a sudden. I didn't really do anything differently. Notice here that we have to the praise of His glorious grace. So this salvation that we have received is to the praise of His glorious grace. And we have been forgiven our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And the word lavished is used there. So grace is God's favor upon us, that He has lavished upon us all of these spiritual blessings. So here in Ephesians, we know Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says that by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your works, not of yourself, right? It is the gift of God. So saving grace, we probably understand, don't we? It's the unmerited favor of God which He saved us with. But the grace that Paul is talking about here in Titus is the grace of God that continues to flow to Christians after they've already been saved. Titus is a saved man. Titus is born again. This is what we call sustaining grace. Grace doesn't just save us, but grace continues to sustain us. And like the song we'll sing in a little bit is, you know, grace has brought me safe thus far and grace will lead me home. Amazing grace. Grace continues to come to us through the Lord. So when Paul speaks of grace and peace, if we look at all of these greetings through the New Testament, it is greetings that he's saying, come to us, grace to you and peace from God the Father. It's not a past grace, but it's a coming grace that he is blessing Titus with. It's like when we say to each other, good morning. You get up tomorrow morning and you go to work and you see somebody and you say, good morning. You're not wishing them a good morning yesterday. You're hoping that they have a good morning today. In the same way, when Paul says, grace to you and peace, something he's wishing for them, if I can use that word, wishing for them in the future and now. Is that how you see grace? It's easy for us to talk about grace as something that happened to us in the past, but what about something that's happening to us right now? Something that we're receiving the grace of God even now. Could make a case that even today you're receiving the grace of the Lord through His Word. Let me give you some examples in the Bible of sustaining grace. And wow, it was so good to look at these verses. I think these verses you could just dive into more and more and more. How God dispenses His grace to us. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is beautiful. God is able to make all grace abound to you. This is not talking about your saving grace, that you've already been born again. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Think about that. The grace of God that is coming to you to give you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. This is God's favor of no merit of your own to give you the sufficiency and me the sufficiency so that all time and in all things we can abound in every good work. That's amazing grace. Are you aware this morning that the grace of God not only saved you, but has brought you to where you are and is continuing to take you where you need to go in your salvation? What about 2 Corinthians 12:9? My grace is sufficient for you. There's that word sufficient again. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about, I don't have what it takes to do the things that I need to be able to do. I have this thorn in the flesh. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Some of you need to hear that today. I needed to hear that this morning. Going, God, I'm preaching on this verse and I know what I see, but I don't know how to communicate it clearly. And the word that I study was the word that came to me, is my grace is sufficient for you. Because it's not about you. It's about the grace of the Lord. So what is sustaining grace? Sustaining grace from these two verses. So this is going to be my definition of sustaining grace from the Bible. God giving us all sufficiency in all things at all times so that we can abound in every good work. Now what I'm not saying is God giving us all the stuff we want. Okay? It's not prosperity grace. It's sustaining grace. God giving us all sufficiency in all things at all times so that we can abound in every good work. Titus, this is what Paul is greeting you with. But Paul also greets Titus with peace, with peace. So with peace here, Paul is actually doing the kind of salam namaste thing that I mentioned. He's taking two languages and he's putting them together and creating a new kind of greeting. He's taking grace from Greek and he's taking shalom from Hebrew, peace. So the standard greeting in Hebrew is shalom, in Arabic salam, And so he's taking that word, this Hebrew concept of greeting, of peace, and he's mixing it with the Greek, and he's putting it together and saying, grace and peace to you. What does the Bible say? What is peace? What is peace? You know it when you feel it, don't you? Maybe you know it if I say, what is stress? That's something you can feel. You don't even have to define, right? Well, peace is also something that you feel and experience. What does Jesus say about peace? John chapter 14. Now, Jesus is speaking in the context of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in the context of teaching on the Holy Spirit, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So what is peace from according to Jesus here? Peace is something that Jesus gives us, something lasting, not like the world gives. It causes our hearts to not be troubled and afraid. Some of you understand that. Some of you are praying right now for things in your life, and some of you are looking for that peace, and some of you have experienced that peace of knowing, I just don't know how I'm going to come through this. And you say, well, I don't have that anymore because I have peace now. It's a peace that goes above and beyond your circumstances, no matter what they are. Philippians 4:6, the Bible says this about peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and anybody in here who's experienced that peace knows that I don't know how it really happened. I just know what it felt like. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I've attempted to make a definition here of peace. I hope this is right. If not, you can rebuke me or correct me. But what is peace? I think peace is the internal rest experienced when the grace of God is dispensed through the Holy Spirit. Peace is the internal rest experienced when the grace of God comes to us or is dispensed to us through the Holy Spirit. You know what it feels like? You know what the opposite feels like? Doesn't feel very good, does it? So sustaining grace is God giving us all sufficiency in all things at all times so that we can abound in every good work. And peace is what we experience when God gives us that grace. So let me see if I can make sense of this in a couple of minutes. Paul is greeting Titus in the best possible way. This is the best possible greeting that a Christian can greet another person with. Let me paraphrase and say it like this. So Paul is saying, Titus, my brother, my true child in the common faith, may God our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ give you grace. May He give you all sufficiency in all things at all times. And may you also have internal rest no matter how things are going. Isn't that a great way to greet somebody when you see somebody? If you said, man, what I really want for you when I see you is just that you may abound in the blessing and favor of God in such a way that you have everything that you need in order to do all of the things that God has called you to. And that on the inside, you have peace no matter how life is going. That's a lot better than just looking at somebody and saying, have a great day. Well, how does God do it? It's a question I want to end with. How does God do it? I don't know. I don't know how God exactly does this. But what means does He use to dispense to us grace and peace? This is what Paul is hoping and blessing Titus and the churches with, and the whole New Testament using this phrase. Through what means does God dispense grace and peace to us? I had to think really, really hard about this. I had to look at my own life and look at the Scripture and say, okay, well, when does that come to us? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1 that the guys read this morning as a call to worship. Look at this. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Multiplied. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And he says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That sounds a lot to me like 2 Corinthians 9:8. That you may have all sufficiency in all things at all times so that you may abound in every good work. I think those are the same thing, that His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who calls us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. How does grace and peace come to us? Well, we saw that peace comes to us when we let our supplication be known unto the Lord, and the peace of God passes all understanding. So peace comes to us when we give it to God and we pray, and the peace of God passes all understanding will come to us. But it also comes to us through the precious and very great promises of God. I'm 48 years old. I can look back over my life and I can see that the times in my life when I have needed the grace of the Lord, and the times in my life when I have needed deep peace, it has come not by me sitting around wishing that it would happen, or just sitting around going, God, I need grace in this area of my life. God, I need peace in this. I hope it's going to happen. But when I meditate on the promises of God, and when I read these very great promises, it's then that I see and experience the grace and peace of God. I submit to you this morning that the reason why this greeting of grace and peace is used all over the New Testament, because it's exactly what we all need every day. Every day. What about your work? In your work. Can anybody in here say, you know, in my work, I need grace. I need all sufficiency in all times, in all things in my job, because you don't know the people I work with. That's what they're also saying and praying for. In our work, do we need grace? What about our marriage? Do you need the grace of God in your marriage? I need God to give me all sufficiency at all times in every way so that I can honor the Lord in my marriage relationship. What about your parenting? Anybody in here say that in my parenting, I need the grace of God to come to me? The sustaining grace of God to know how to parent my children? Anybody want to say amen? Yeah. I know we need it. Our kids also need it, dealing with their parents. What about ministry? You need grace of God, the grace of God and peace of God in your ministry. Yeah. We need God to supply to us all sufficiency in all things at all times so that we can abound in every good work. And we need to experience the internal rest of God that comes through the Holy Spirit. So I know that probably some of you came in here this morning and you probably say, you know, you don't understand what I'm going through right now. I need a lot of grace in my life. God is able to make all grace abound to you. I would encourage you to turn to the promises of God. Go deep in His Word and just marinate in the Scripture. Just soak it all in, and God will give you the grace that you need. What about peace? What in your life do you need peace this morning? God will give it to you. I would encourage you to read the book of Titus, and that the grace and peace of God will come to you through this book. And Paul is actually hoping, praying that grace and peace will come to Titus and the churches in Crete through this book. He starts out in verse 4 saying, "Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior." And look at the last verse in the book of Titus. What's the last verse in the book of Titus? "Grace be with you all." Grace be with you all. I'm closing. I've been speaking to Christians all morning. If you're not a Christian in here, grace and peace is available to you as well. Not sustaining grace and sustaining peace, not yet. But what is available to you is that the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 is that we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God. The relationship between you and God is broken if you don't know Jesus Christ. But through Jesus Christ, that relationship, you can have peace. You can be forgiven of your sins. The grace of God is there. By grace, you can be saved, not of your own works, so that you have nothing to boast about before God, but simply by His mercy. The Scripture says that if you believe in your heart that Christ rose from the dead, you will be saved. Embrace His death, burial, and resurrection for you. He will forgive you of your sins, and you can have grace, and you can have peace. You know, Christians, we're different. I appreciate thinking about the Nepalese Christians and how they have a greeting that's just between them and other Christians. You know what? One of the things I got from this passage was this. Christians are different. Maybe the way we greet each other should be different. Shouldn't be exactly like the world. But we should greet one another in a way that is commensurate with the blessings that we have received in Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you know that my own ability to preach is my thorn in the flesh. And so I pray that Your power would be made perfect in my weakness, and that You would give our congregation grace this morning. Grace to hear Your Word and to hear from Your Holy Spirit and not to hear from a jar of clay. But I do thank You, Lord, that we have this treasure who is Christ to show that the surpassing power belongs to You, not to us. God, thank You that Your promises say that grace abounds to us through Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to not be so afraid of the prosperity gospel that we forget how much You love us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.